That's the best Father's Day gift that a person can get. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. While I feel the presence of the Lord, I'm going to go into the Word. I give honor to my wife. I give honor to each and every one of you. Just praying for those who are not here. I know some are visiting fathers and grandfathers. Just praying for them as well. Amen. And so on this Sunday, God has given me the title, I will not play with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I will not play with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just so grateful and I'm so thankful, like that song that came on. I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for the firm foundation. Amen. That I stand on. I'm thankful for the saints who came before me that gave me an example of how to be real. Amen. Not to play church, not to play with God, but to be real, not to be a hypocrite, not to be fake or phony, but to just bring all of my faults, my weaknesses, my vices to the Lord and then allow God to work in me. I thank God for every saint that taught me how to do that. Amen. And so on this Sunday, God, this title, I would not play with the Holy Ghost, y'all. I had the opportunity to go to a funeral on yesterday. And, you know, I pray for the man of God that brought the eulogy. I pray for his congregation. But I was sitting there and I couldn't help but think about Granny and the spirit of the Lord that was in the house at Granny's funeral compared to the funeral I went to on yesterday. I was riding home and I say, God, I have to be. I have to be real. I can't play with the Holy Ghost. And so on this Sunday, I want to talk about having church for the sake of having church. Amen. That's something that I don't want to do. I never want y'all to come in here and be doing this for the sake of just having church. It's just Sunday, we're supposed to have church, so we have church. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to play with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to play with God. And so my first question to you as I bring forth this word is, who in here believes that they can be fed and healed on today? Amen. Considering that the church is going through a fast, who in here believes that they can be fed and that they can be healed on today? Healed from whatever it is, physical, grief, mental, psychological, whatever they like. Do you believe that you can be fed and healed on today? And so I'm going to be in Matthew 12 for the majority of this sermon, and I'm going to be skipping around. So the scriptures will be on the screen, but I'm going to be moving fast as the Spirit moves me. And in Matthew 12, he's encountering Pharisees who question the things that he does on the Sabbath. They're questioning the work that Jesus does and the work that he allows his disciples to do on the Sabbath, because to the Pharisee, you're not supposed to do nothing on the Sabbath except rest. And so Jesus is going about and he's feeding people and he's healing people on the Sabbath, and they're questioning what he was doing. And so to me, it's like the Pharisees were keeping these commandments. They were having church and being religious for the sake of being religious, while Jesus was doing what needed to be done no matter the day of the week, because it was needed. And so somebody in here might need to be fed on today. They might need this word. Somebody in here might need to be healed on today. And there is no reservation. There is nothing stopping you from getting what you need, if you want it. So the first thing that Jesus does, he and his disciples are walking and they come across this field full of grain, and they just take the grain off the stalk and they begin to eat it. And the Pharisees start to question them. This is Matthew 12 verses 1 and 2. And it says, about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were so hungry that they began breaking off some of the heads of the grain and eating them. But some of the Pharisees saw them do it and protested. Look at your disciples. Right? They're breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Jesus didn't care. He fed whoever needed to be filled. While the Pharisees were concerned with keeping the law, Jesus was concerned with making sure people got what they needed. I pray that y'all are not just here just to be here, but that you came here with an expectation to get something. Because if you came with an expectation to get something, Jesus is readily handing it out on today. He's willing to give it on today. Like, we could have came to church and I could have made this message all about fathers and the importance of fathers. But y'all know that I don't do that. I don't preach holidays. I preach Jesus. I don't preach holidays. I preach Jesus. And so he's here saying, if you have, or if you are in need, if you have a need, I have whatever it is. I'm all right with you if you're hungry. I'm all right with you breaking off a piece of whatever you need. You don't have to wait till tomorrow to get it. You don't have to wait till next week to get it. You can get it today. And as the chapter goes on, they were mad at him again because Jesus decided to heal on the Sabbath. By the time we get to the 13th verse, it says, then he said to the man, right? They brought a crippled man. One of his hands was crippled. They say, then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored just like the other one. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how they would kill Jesus. They were so upset with Jesus for giving the people what they needed that they wanted to take his life. And see, some people get mad when you just preach Jesus, when you just give. You just give what the people need. They don't want that. It's almost like now churches want to cut Jesus out the service and just have service. What kind of service is that if Jesus is not included in it? We can't play with the Holy Ghost. I saw somebody at that funeral. This pastor was trying to prompt and prime the people in the service to praise God. And you might be saying, well, what's wrong with that? But nobody in the service was praising or standing or doing anything except his own congregation. And he was speaking in tongues and he was shouting, carrying on and running up and down the aisles, and nobody was moving. The only people that were shouting and running was the people that came with him. Because this was like they had been trained what to do. I never want y'all to shout because pastor shout. I never want y'all to run because pastor is running. I only want you shouting. I only want you running. I only want you praising if the Spirit makes you do that.
Amen.
Y'all don't have to try to make me look good. Make Jesus look good.
Amen.
So many people now, they just want to have church. They just want to have church. Jesus wants to heal. Jesus wants to feed, but he can't do that for all the people playing with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Do you know when he went to his own hometown, he could not even heal in the place that he was from because of their unbelief? He was doing all the things that they were supposed to be doing, and they were mad at him for doing it. The scripture says Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he continued to heal anyway, all while not operating in the spotlight. So here's another thing to let you know when people are playing with the Holy Ghost. When people are playing with the Holy Ghost, the spotlight is not on Jesus. They're not glorifying him. They're glorifying themselves. The louder they scream, the louder they yell, the louder they shout, the louder they run. You can't run loud. I guess you can't run loud. But the more they run. And am I saying that those things, if you see somebody doing it, that those things are not of God? Yes, those things are of God when a person is truly in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But the Bible says you're going to know people by the fruit that they bear. Hallelujah. When we get to the 17th verse, the word says, that Jesus, he walked and he was doing these things. He was feeding people and healing people and going and debating the Pharisees all while not being in the spotlight. And he did this to fulfill prophecy. The 17th through the 21st verse says, this fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. And it reads, look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nation. If a person is preaching and they are not trying to set you free, if a person is just preaching and throwing out scriptures and putting on the show, but they are not trying to set you free. Free from what? Free from your sins. Not throwing out blessings. Blessings don't set you free. Cars and stuff like that and houses don't set you free. The word sets you free. The word makes you free. The anointing destroys yokes. If a person is preaching, but you don't feel like nothing is falling off of you, if you don't feel a tug or a knife cut, something that's calling you out, that's convicting you, it's not the word. He says he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. When I read that part, that means that Jesus is so gentle with those who are in need. He doesn't try to shame you into praising him. He doesn't try to shame you. For as much as I want some of y'all in here to open up your mouth and give God glory, I would never shame you into doing it. When I am asking you to open up your mouth and praise God, because I know that there is power when you call on the name of Jesus, it's not to shame you. You got to be comfortable clapping your hands. You got to be comfortable raising your hands. You have to be comfortable opening your mouth, because you can't play with the Holy Ghost. If you shout and you jump and you fake talking tongues because you're trying to prove a point that you have Jesus, it's going to do you no good. You have to yield your heart. You have to yield your mind to the Lord and let him move you. You have to let down your guard long enough to let the tears flow. You have to let down your guard long enough to drop it and hit your knees. It has to be real. It has to be sincere. You have to let down your guard and start praying them prayers that you didn't want to say out loud, but you feel so compelled to say out loud. To call out for your mama, to call out for your kids, to call out for your breakthrough. You have to be comfortable enough to do those things for yourself in order for God to move in your life. Jesus sees like I'm not raising my voice. I'm not shouting at you. I'm healing you. I'm feeding you. I'm doing all of these things. I'm trying to set you free, and I'm so gentle with you. The word says, finally, he will cause justice to be victorious. He's trying to give you victory. He's trying to take your past and justify. He's trying to justify and make you right with God. The 21st verse says, and his name will be the hope of all the world. He's trying to make it well. When you call on his name, you feel like there is hope. You can't get that playing church. That got to be something that you feel, that when you say Jesus, you feel something. And as the chapter goes on, Jesus is doing these things. First, they glean the grain, and then he heals the crippled man's hand. And then the test gets harder. And the reason how this applies to the title is, as the test gets harder, fake church won't let you pass the same. Fake church won't let you pass the test. Fake shout to get you through, I lost $20. Fake shout to get you through, my car tore up. Right? Fake shout to get you through, maybe you broke up with your boyfriend. and you go to church and you get a little, you right? You get over that. But there's going to come a time, there's going to come a test when fake shouting, when fake Holy Ghost, when fake anointing won't do it, when something is binding you and has you blind and walking in darkness, fake church won't get you out of that. When you're grieving and you want to give up on God and you're angry with Him, fake church won't get you out of that. Only the Holy Ghost will get you out of that. The 22nd through the 29th verse says, then a demon possessed. And I'm not saying that somebody here is possessed with a demon, but I am telling you that sometimes there are things in life that have a hold on you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
There are addictions. There are vices that have a hold on you. The word says, then a demon possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak, and you can't even see or put into words.
Oh, come on, come on.
Put into words what you are feeling.
Yes, yes, yes.
Fake church ain't gonna get you out of that. Because you don't know the words to say. Them fake tongues ain't moving nothing. You need the Holy Ghost to cry out for you and utter things to God that even your own heart and your own mind don't understand.
Yes, yes, Lord.
This is the type of man that was brought to Jesus. He was blind and bound and could not speak. Jesus healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah? When the Holy Ghost show up, it starts to erase the doubt about who Jesus really is.
Yes.
And that's why I thank God for the foundation. I pray for the man of God. I pray for his congregation. But my foundation is so strong. My foundation is so strong. And I've seen the Holy Ghost do impossible things.
Yes, yes.
So when I see fake church, it doesn't, you know, move nothing in me.
Yes, Lord.
Just because you shouting, that don't move nothing in me. Because I know what the real Holy Ghost looks like. It was all right for Jesus just to tell his disciples to eat some grain on Sunday. It was all right for Jesus to straighten out a man's hand, but when they saw this man who was possessed, who was blind and could not speak, when they saw this demon get cast out, when they saw somebody's life get radically changed, then all of a sudden it was, hold on now, it might be something to this man named Jesus. But when the Pharisees, the religious people, when they heard about this miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Let me tell y'all, when I was sitting in that funeral, and the pastor, he was trying to get people to stand up and do all of this stuff. And my Holy Ghost started running. I said, I hope you don't come back here. Because I'm going to say, man, sit down. I would have told him, I was preparing my mind to say, bro, sit down. That's how bad I was preparing my mind to say, sit down and to stand up for Jesus. That's where I was. But see, religious people, when you start to call out the faith, then they say, you the one that's Satan. So they saw Jesus heal this man. No wonder he could cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. Jesus said, it don't even make no sense that y'all think I'm casting out demons with a demon. Who would do that? A town or a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. Jesus said, y'all logic don't even make no sense. Your logic doesn't even make any sense. He says, if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own people who do exorcisms? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. He says, but if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. The things that happen in this church is God. When you see your brothers and them sisters with them tears flowing, you might think it's emotion. You might think it's emotion, but it's the Holy Ghost. You got to stop playing with the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to yield yourself. When you come to this altar, you have to yield yourself. You have to be vulnerable. You have to lay things at the altar and not want to pick them back up and run off with them again. You have to yield yourself so that Jesus can do a work in you. He says, I'm not trying to, it don't make no sense for you to come up here with pain and grief and for me to try to pray it out of you with the spirit of pain and grief. If I'm going to pray for you and move something, it has to be the Holy Spirit working against that thing that's trying to hold you. In the 29th verse says, for who is powerful enough to enter into the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? If it was me, y'all know I got faults. I'm a man myself. I'm weak. I don't get everything right. So when you come to the altar, if it was me here, how can I help y'all with stuff I can't help myself with sometimes? So it has to be a power resting on and in me that's stronger than me, that's doing the work to move you. Because Jesus said, who is powerful enough to go into your house, bind up everything that's not of God and kick it out? Only something stronger. I'm not strong enough to do that. Only something stronger than me is able to do that. And so here's the important part of the sermon. It is the important part in full context when we get to the 30th verse. Jesus says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. I say, Lord, I don't want to play with the Holy Ghost. If I'm quenching your spirit, if I'm working against what you're trying to do, if I'm working against what you're trying to do in my life, if I'm working against what you're trying to do in ministers' life, if I'm working against what you're trying to do in SO's life, if I'm working against that, that means I'm your enemy. I don't want to be your enemy. I want the Holy Ghost to do whatever he wants to do in whoever's life he wants to do it. And I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to get up here and mess it up and be fake. Holy Ghost, have your way. Anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. When you come to this altar, don't work against what he's trying to do in your life. When God is trying to move in your life and he's trying to take stuff away from you and separate you from people that you don't supposed to be around and do things and have you in a season of isolation or have you in whatever it is, don't work against it. Don't do your own thing. You're working against God. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. This is a scripture that a lot of people ask about. This is a scripture that a lot of like, is there any sin that's unforgivable? Yes, there is, and this is it. When you work against the Holy Ghost, he says anything else can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven. I remember when I was in my college days, I remember sitting on the porch smoking, and one of my friends was trying to, me and my cousin was smoking, and this other guy, he wasn't smoking because he was in church. And he was trying to minister. He was trying to minister to us, and I was telling him, man, if God is God and he understands exactly what's going on, he know my aura. Like, I believe God just be sitting here chilling with us, right? Speaking all of this blasphemy against Jesus, right? But yet I'm standing here today preaching because I understand that sometimes people are going to have questions about Jesus. They're going to have questions about Jesus. They're going to have doubts about, you know, is he real? Is he the Son of God? They're going to have doubts about all of these things. God can deal with your questions. God can deal with your doubts. But this is the thing that's going to get you. He deals with your doubts with his spirit. While you're doubting, the Holy Spirit is trying to work them questions out. The Holy Spirit is trying to work them doubts out. While you yet in your sin, the Holy Spirit is still trying to tug you and pull you and draw you. So Jesus knows that you got questions about him, but while you're questioning him, his spirit is trying to draw you. And if you work against the spirit, you'll never get them questions. You'll never get them doubts gone. You'll never accept them. And then you're lost. You'll never believe. And it's not because he's not trying to get you. It's because you blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. You saying that tug, that pull, that move of God that I feel, that instruction that you, that word that you keep sending me over and over and over again to save me. You keep saying that it ain't him talking. You keep saying that it ain't, that it's not real. You keep pretending like you don't feel like God is trying to get to you. Keep pretending like that. And you're going to find yourself isolated and alone. And the worst of that is not in this life, it's in the next. That's what hell is, to be isolated from God for eternity. To not feel his presence, to not feel his touch. When it talks about darkness, if the word says Jesus is the light, if you're separated from God, that means there is no light. Lord, I thank you. He says, anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Either in this world or in the world to come. So when I think about my Muslim brothers and sisters, when I think about Jehovah's Witnesses, I get that they have doubts about God and who God is and him being the Son. That's a conversation. That's just dialogue. That's just love. You love on them, right? But the prayer has to be, Holy Spirit, teach them. Holy Spirit, reach them. Holy Spirit, draw them. People are getting churched, but they aren't getting free. People are learning church culture. They know what to do, okay? When the music comes on, you, right? When this song come on, you do whatever. You know what to do. When the bass will come out, you get here. You know what to do. People are getting church, but they aren't getting free. And it's a lot of people, a lot of pastors playing with the Holy Ghost. They playing with the Holy Ghost. The 31st verse, the number 31, means offspring. It means offspring. So the 31st verse says, so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which can never be forgiven. It's talking about being born again. You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. John 3, 6 and 8 reads, humans can reproduce only human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it's from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. For some of y'all, hear me. That's the next step. That's the next step for some of y'all. Not that you have not given your life to Christ. Not that you are not saved. But you have to be filled. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptism is just the first. You have to be filled. You have to be baptized with the water and the Spirit. You have to be filled. You have to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit is the thing that destroys the yoke. It's what breaks the grief. It's what breaks the pain. It's what breaks the loneliness. It's what breaks the doubt. The indecision, the wavering, the inconsistency. You have to be born of the Spirit, and it's a gift. It's nothing that you have to work for. It's a gift. It's a gift. You just got to be close. Once you get saved, you just got to stay close enough to Jesus to receive the gift. If you don't show up on Christmas Day and don't get the gift, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. We want him to mail it to us when we're so far away from mail. Lord, mail the Holy Ghost to me. No, you got to be present.
Amen.
You got to be present to receive it. We go through these, a season I'm on with Jesus, a season I'm off with Jesus, a season. You got to be present. Preaching. Me standing up here preaching, this is an exercise in me trying to explain the unexplainable. Every Sunday, I'm trying to stand up here and explain something that is unexplainable. Jesus just said, no one can explain how people are born of the Spirit. I know so many people have questions. Well, Pastor, how do I know this? And Pastor, how do I know that? I'm going to continue talking to you. But God doesn't, that's not an answer that he wants me to be able to, he wants me to minister to you, but that's not an answer that I can give you, and here's why. Because he wants you to get the answer for him. He wants you to want to know so bad. He wants you to be like that deer panting at the water. He wants you to get it for him. If I could give you the key to life, then I would be the Savior. He wants to unlock the door. He wants you to open the door. He wants to be the person that gives you this undescribable gift. So I can tell you about how I got it and how I feel, but you're not going to understand it till you get it for yourself. Preaching is an exercise in trying to explain the unexplainable to hearts that desperately need it and to minds that constantly fight it. To give the Holy Spirit, to get into the Holy Spirit, is an exercise in life. To give into it is life. When you give into the Spirit, there is life. And I'm going to end with this, so Armor Bearer, you can get the altar call ready. Hallelujah. The last few verses, the 33rd verse says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, the fruit will be good. And if a tree is bad, the fruit will be bad. I was in that funeral, and I began thanking God for my foundation. You can turn it on. A tree is identified by its fruit. And if a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If the tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Jesus says, you brood of snakes, how can evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you will say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I remember when I was in the classroom, I used to tell people, you know, there's a difference between somebody being bound in sin and somebody being evil. I said, I can deal with somebody who's in sin because I that's an opportunity for me to minister. But then there are those who are a part of a brood of snakes. Right? There are good people who sometimes do bad things, but their heart is not to continually do bad. Their intention is not to purposely deceive. And then there's what Jesus describes as a brood of snakes. And he starts to talk about the treasury of people's hearts. He says, when you're a good person, the things that you do and the things that you say They're gonna come out, even if it come out wrong sometime. Even if you sometimes you got to go back and apologize. The reason that you're going back to apologize is because you didn't. I didn't mean to say. I didn't mean to do it like that. Or I was wrong, and I have a heart to say I'm wrong. But when a person has an evil heart, they speak and they say wrong intentionally. And there is no intention to go back and make that thing right. All while pretending to be a Christian. These are the Pharisees. But Jesus says this in the 36th verse. He says, I tell you this. You must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit or condemn you. The words you say will either acquit or condemn you. And so I close with this. I close with the title, I Will Not Play with the Holy Ghost. I've asked several people in here just in random conversation while we were walking. We did our walk on Thursday and even at Bible study, I asked about church on last Sunday and the prophecy that came at the end of the church, And I was saying how, those were not things that I necessarily wanted to say, but the Holy Ghost had me saying. And so I say, I will not play with God when he tells me to speak. Even if it hurts our feelings sometimes and you decide, I can't talk to pastor, or hey, you want to run it high, that's fine. Because pastor's going to be right here. If you decide to come back, and maybe you don't. Pastor Carl used to say, she don't matter where you go. Because to be right, you're going to have to be holy. Whether it's in this church or another church. Wherever you go, you're going to have to be holy. So maybe you don't come back here. But you go and you find out what you need to do. And you holy in another church. And you make it to heaven. Job well done. But for me, it's like I told y'all last Sunday. I can't play with the Holy Ghost. Every warning that he asked me to issue, every word that he asked me to speak, every prophecy that he asked me to say, I have to give it because I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to have to be responsible. And I say, I didn't necessarily want to say it because y'all got to understand that when you prophesy of something and it don't come to pass, the word say you're a false prophet. And I know that when I open up my mouth to say something, God is going to hold me accountable for what I say. We have to stop. We can't play with the Holy Ghost. I encourage you that if you don't have it, if you don't have him, and when I say it/him, I'm saying the power. It is the power that is connected to him. The power that's connected to him. That's something that you have to seek out for. That's something that you have to ask for. And to be quite honest, that's something that is often bestowed upon people who are serving others, who have gotten over themselves, who are not running to God for every little thing you want to happen in your life. But you're running to God because you know that there are people out here who are going to die and go to hell. And the most important thing that you can do is share your love for God with them. That means you over yourself. Like, see, when you're saved, but you still worry about you. If you say, you say, you good, right? When you know you're good, then now I know that there are other people who are not good. Let me try to help them be good. And then when you try to help them be good, then everything else will be added unto you. That's what I mean by playing. So you can't serve God to get the stuff that you want. You fake. You got to serve him because he He is him. Don't play with the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to shout if you don't want to shout. You ain't got to jump. You ain't got to cry. You ain't got to do none of that. All I'm asking is that if the Lord so moves you to, you won't get in the way of it. You won't get in the way of it. Amen. Amen. Y'all come on and give the Lord a hand. This time, I mean, anybody desiring prayer, I mean, any well.